I bid you a pleasant good evening. And I hope that you know I mean that sincerely. I'm so glad to see you, to be with you, and to enjoy this wonderful privilege that we have of reaching out to God, giving Him the praise of our hearts and the joy of our lips, and be built up in the faith. It's good to be with you. I've been gone a lot in my years, as most of you know. And I never did a single solitary meeting that one thing wasn't really fine at the end of it. I knew I was going home. It's always good to get home. And you're my people, my home, my family. I'm glad to be here and see you. Good to see you. I love the word serendipity. Serendipity is a kind of a thing that happens. It just, nothing caused it. It's just one of those days that happened. Sometimes the serendipity is seen in cloud formation. You're just driving along, all of a sudden the cloud just comes together and the sun comes at just the right angle and you have a beautiful scene. Or you see somebody at the grocery store you hadn't seen in a long time. Or you get a call from somebody. Serendipity is wonderful when you get a call from someone and they said, well, I just wanted to hear your voice a little bit. That's just wonderful. So serendipity. Passages of Scripture. I find passages of Scripture once in a while that's just a jewel. And I found one this past week. I just love this little passage. It says so much in such a short space. It's found in the 119th Psalm and verse 160. If you don't have it underlined, it ought to be underlined. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Could I read it again? Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Truth is so very, very important, so vital to whatever the engagement you're involved in. Every area of life has some relationship to truth. Did you ever notice that? Every relation of life is some way or the other related to truth. If you speak of education, you're looking for truth, trying to find out what will be good to learn that you can store up and use. That has practical applications. That's education. If you're looking for communication, want to be good at speaking to people like Bubba and I have to do, you look for ways and means to make that rhetorically strong and so the people will hear, and so you can storm their will and make them hear carefully. If you're talking about computer science, the truth is found in pushing the right button. If you don't push the right button, the guy who made the computer work is going to pay you for it because you're not going to get what you're looking for. Truth is important. Truth is a processing system. If you talk about family matters, you're talking about truth. You talk about rearing your children, you teach them the truth. That's what you do. Whatever the truth is and whatever the situation is, whatever the circumstances are, you want to talk with them about the truth over and over and over and over again. Medicine. You're looking for the truth when you go to the doctor? Certainly so. You want to be blessed with what they know about things that is real and active. And could I make one final observation? The process that is involved in the indispensability of the resurrection is all about truth. All of us are going to be resurrected. Some of us will be resurrected to life. Some of us will be resurrected to damnation. The thing that differentiates between the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation is the truth of God Almighty. It's that simple. Listen to the passage again. Thy word is true from the beginning. It reminds me of John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, the expression of God. It says a little bit later in verse 18, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son of God, he hath declared him. That's truth. I was trying to find a title for the lesson. Brother Barron asked me about it. I said, you're going to enjoy the title. Here's my title. Is that so? Is that so? That's what the truth is all about. Is that so? When he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, is that so? When he said, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that so? That's the truth. What is real is what truth is. What is actual? What agrees with the fact? It's sometimes that which conforms to the original. You put something up alongside a ruler and you have the truth about whether or not it's a foot long. Truth is trustworthy. Truth will always show what is real, what is verifiable. Is that so? That's our question. A few simple but powerful passages will do for our lesson tonight. First of all, Jesus Christ is a personification of truth. That's what we just found from John 1:18. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's not kind of all the grace, not kind of all the truth. All the grace of God and all the truth of God is personified, or personified, if you please, in Jesus Christ. He is the truth. I am the true and living way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the personification of all truth. Every need of man is both stated and illustrated by Jesus Christ. He is the illustration of truth. He stated truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. He stated the truth. If you listen to the truth, you listen to Jesus. If you listen to Jesus, you listen to the truth. The truth makes you free. There's no other way. It must be verifiably so. He is the illustration of it. He lived it in every area of his life. He lived a righteous life. He lived a sinless life. He took the truth and applied it to every given situation. Didn't make any difference how difficult it was or how easy it was. He made the truth applicable in every situation that he faced throughout his life. So he is the illustration of truth. When he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The essential needs of mankind, first of all, are satisfied by the law of necessity. We don't have to worry about knowing whether or not we're too cold or too hot or hungry. The law of necessity given for man's sustenance, he knows intuitively how to give care to his body when he needs food, how to care for his body when he needs clothing, how to care for his body when he needs shelter from the weather. Those things come to man intuitively, but it ends there. His God-given conscience is another thing that God has given him. God has given us the right to know the difference between right and wrong. He has a conscientious conviction about truth that is God-placed. God put it in there. Is that so? Yes, sir, that's so. The fact of the matter is, his conviction of right and wrong produces the need for some truth. He must find the truth. It's part of his mission in life. It's part of every man's mission in life. We're looking for a way to get to heaven. We're looking for the resurrection. I said to you, the ultimacy of all truth is the resurrection of the righteous. That's what we're looking for. You'll come to realize that more and more as you get older, some of you young people. But the fact of the matter is, all of us are going to face it sooner or later. We're going to say, okay, am I ready for a resurrection to immortality? Am I ready to be immortally arrayed? That's what 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. So then, the gospel truth is the answer to all men's needs. Everything that he has a need for, God has provided. In Titus chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, another powerful passage. But the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. That is a terribly powerful statement. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. From what? From everything that gets in the way of your relationship to God. For the sin that separates between you and your God. From anything that imposes itself against the declaration of who you are and what you are and where you're going. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Teaching us. This grace is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're all looking for that resurrection. That's what he's saying here. He says the grace of God is going to make it possible for you to be in the presence of the Jesus who was resurrected. You live godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope. It'll come to fruition. Is that so? Yes, sir. That's so. That's the hope. Hope is that which reaches off into the future and attaches itself to something that we desire and have a warm expectation of receiving. And the fact of the matter is it's predicated on our faith. And our faith is predicated on the Word of God. And the Word of God is based on Jesus. And the Word of God in Jesus is what he said. Does that make your Bible important? I think so. We better be careful and look at it carefully. Well, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 13 and 14. Paul, by design of the Holy Spirit, makes a beautiful statement. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, wherein he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just because it's a familiar passage, please don't take it for granted. Look at the little pieces of it. We're bound to thank God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. They apparently have received the accolades of God. Beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you. He chose you because you chose to follow him. He chose you from the beginning because he made it possible for you to be his disciple. Through sanctification, separation from sin by the Spirit, which gives us information and belief of the truth. Is that so? You can't get there, folks, without believing the truth. You can't go. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. That says that the gospel and the truth are one and the same thing. To the obtaining of the glory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is not some wild kind of gospel. It's an understandable thing. It's not something that's better felt than told it's real. Listen to Paul. All scripture is inspired of God. God breathed. And it's profitable. What does that mean? That means if you invest in it, something good is going to come out of it. Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. He says the Word of God is important. It's inspired of God. God breathed. Profitable for doctrine, teaching. What does it teach you? Teaches you where you came from. Teaches you why you're here. Teaches you where you're going. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. It'll make things work so you can keep your vehicle between the ditches. Is that so? Yes, sir. The truth makes it so. Is that so? Yes, sir. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in right wayness, righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, being thoroughly furnished unto every good work. You can't say any more than that. When you said every, that's all there is. There ain't any more. Somebody comes along and says, yeah, this is every though. No, it's not. Is that so? No, it's not. This is every. No, it's all wrapped up in one little bundle. It's wrapped up in your Bible. Does that make your Bible important? Let me say something to you, and you hear me emphatically. You do not have a possession in life, the value of which is greater than that Bible that's sitting on your shelf at home. It's the truth. Is that so? Yes, it's the truth. It contains the truth that says, if you open that up like a beautiful box, everything in there is good. Is it so? Everything in there is so. Everything in there is righteous. Everything in there is good. Everything in there is profitable. Everything in there is workable, usable. You can replicate the Savior with that book. It's a wonderful thing to have. So he says in no uncertain terms, looking for the blessed hope. What is that hope again? That's the resurrection. The blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God. When the resurrection coming? When Jesus comes. Is that so? Yes, sir. Not before. It'll be when he comes in the resurrection of the dead. Read 1 Corinthians 15, the last few verses. You'll see that we're going to put on incorruption. Mortality is going to put on immortality, and we're going to be like the Savior. So the resurrection. He says it's the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ. He called you by our gospel. It's a calling. Does that make it important? He called you out of sin. He called you out of ungodliness. He called you out of despicability. He called you out of dirtiness. He called you out of ungodliness of all sorts and kinds. Is that so? Yes, sir. Whereunto you are called by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ, he says. Now then, let me say something to you. This gospel, this truth of God, has to be applied personally. It's up to you to do it. The elders can't do it for you. They're going to try to help you. We'll have elders and preachers meeting tomorrow night, and I'm going to guarantee you that they're going to talk about some of the people in this church that they can help go to heaven. They're going to help you do it, but nobody can do it for you. This is your truth, and your truth has to be applied by you. The truth of God, is it so? Yes, it's certainly so, and it's going to be applicable for every individual. If you have a different need for the truth than I do, then you apply the truth to your need while I apply mine to mine. That's how that works. Is it so? Yes, sir. It works, and we need to be careful that we work it. This gospel, the truth of God, must be applied. Its use is only functional when the hearer of the gospel applies the good news of that gospel to his own personal needs, his own personal life. So, to apply something is to put it to use. When I was a kid, right at the end of World War II, you had clothing that was, you could only buy so many pairs of jeans. So right before school started, my folks would always buy some new jeans. And my mother always bought the jeans. And at the same time, she bought these little things that looked like jeans, little square things that looked like jeans. Because 2 days later, we had holes in the knees. And she would take those things and look at them and set them over there and watch the holes in the knees. You know better than that. She took those and applied them to the need. She applied them to the knees, too. They were there. She'd press them on with some kind of adhesive and patch things up. The use of the gospel is functional only when it applies to one's personal needs. To apply something for a specific person. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you received, by which you're saved. Watch, if you keep in memory the things I have commanded you, unless you have believed in vain." That word "if" is a big old word. Is that so? It is a big word. That thing is huge. If you follow me, if you keep my commandments, if you do what I want you to do, if you believe, if you stand, by which you're saved, if you keep in memory the things I've commanded you. And a passage that we cite over and over and over again, so much so I think that we dismiss its effectivity and explosiveness. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Is it so? Absolutely so. Why is it so? Because he who was the Word said it was so. He's the one that said it, in fact. And if he said it, it's so. And we can believe it with all our being. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized." You mean you have to be baptized? Is that so? That's what he said, isn't it? That's hard to misunderstand as far as I'm concerned. How would he say it any other way? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He says, that's so? That is so. Read Romans chapter 6. Shall we continue in grace, continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the gospel, even so we should walk in newness of life. We do that personally. Every person does it. It's not a big collection of people. The collection is formed by the individuals who have been saved, and that's the only way it happens. Well, but there must be a determination toward continuance with the gospel. Ye therefore, seeing ye know these things, beware lest being away, led away by the error of the devil, you fall from your steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow. Is that so? We've got to grow? Could I ask you something? How's your spiritual height? How have you done on your growth this last year? Remember when you had your kids and you'd take them behind the door and put a little mark on them, measure them there, and the next year you'd see whether they'd come up any or not? Marks on the wall. We need to put marks on the wall in our spiritual bodies. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in the facts of the gospel. Grow in the merited favor of God seen in the distribution of saints by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the Word. He is the giver of everything that's good and perfect. He is the giver of life. We better watch out. John 8:31-32. Here's another familiar passage. Don't dismiss it because you know it. Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, if, is that so again? If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. On condition that you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. It's not enough to know the truth. You should know the truth and it'll make you free, but it has to be continued growth in it. Has to be continued spiritual progress. Your spiritual character must be growing regularly. How do you do that? Well, really very simple. Forsake not the assembling is one way. Study to show thyself approved is another way. Is that so? Yes, it is. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Truth will make you free. He said here, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Who is? If you continue in my word, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Free from sin. Free from doubt. Free from hopelessness. Free from things that impede our progress. Know the truth. The truth actuated, practicalized, made functional is what God had in mind when he gave it. Quickly. Two or three areas where we should be careful to apply the truth. And I said carefully. First of all, we need to apply our truth to thinking. The way we think about things. We need to apply the truth of God. What did he say about thinking? What did he say about meditation? What did he say about what is in your mind? Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. What does he say about humility then? What does he show us in the way of continuance and steadfastness and strength? He shows us all kinds of good things. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Every one of those items of consideration begins and ends with truth. Let me say that again. Every one of those items begins and ends with truth. Look at them. Honest, is that so? Things that are just, is that truth? Things that are lovely, is that truth? Is things that are pure, is that truth? good report. Is that truth? It's distributing the truth. All these things, every one of them is a consideration that begins and ends with the truth. Your thinking should begin with godly things. It should end with godly things. In His name we pray. Is that it? That's it. I'll tell you for sure. We should be careful to apply the truth to our determination to continued faithfulness. Sometimes it's hard to persevere. So be that you've heard of Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, says Paul in Ephesians 4. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. Put Him on. Put Him on. It suggests intimacy. It suggests togetherness. Put off the former conversation. Get rid of the dirty filth. Get rid of the junk. Get rid of the stuff that gets in the way. Every person may have differences about what that is, but you have to get rid of it. You need to cleanse your mind periodically. That's hard. It is for me. I work on that diligently. It's hard to cleanse your mind, but you have to do it. What you remember, what you recall, what you reconsider, all those things require that you take the truth of God and use it for a cleaning sponge. Make it work for you. Every one of these items begins with the truth again. Is that so? Yes. And put on the new man, which is created. It's created by God, and it's created by Him by the things that you do that belong to His truth. If you take His truth, He creates a new man in you. Don't be the old man eaten up with sin. Be the new man, which is renewed in spirit of holiness and righteousness. Following the marks of the giving of the Christian graces, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10, He says, he that lacketh these things. And could I go back quickly? All those Christian graces, every one of them, begins and ends with the truth. Is that so? Yes. Every last one of them begins and ends with the truth. Following the remarks, Jesus advises through Peter the Apostle, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was cleansed or purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. That says give diligence. Truth is, you have to. Could I say something to you? Being a Christian is hard work. Is that so or not? Being a Christian is difficult. God never said it'd be other way. Count it all joy when you fall into divers trials, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be complete and entire, wanting nothing. It's hard. The devil's active. He's prowling all the time. He's disgustingly near, no matter what day it is or what hour. He's right on the other side, wanting to get in the way all the time. We must not be myopic. We must be foreign looking. We must be focused on the good things of the gospel. If you do these things, you shall never fall. There's the danger of falling. What's the answer? Do the things that are right. Now you have to examine yourself. I can't call it for you. I know some things that are common to all of us. I try to preach on those things. But I can't do it for you. You have to decide what your needs are, and then you have to apply the truth of God to those needs. Finally, we need to be very, very careful that we use the truth in our determination for eternal life. In Philippians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21, Paul says, our conversation, our manner of life, our citizenship, if you please, is in heaven, from whence we look for a Savior, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to do all things unto himself. Is that so? What a wonderful thought that our conversation is in heaven, our citizenship is there. Listen, we're pilgrims. We're not civilians here. We're not even workers in the kingdom here. We're workers in this kingdom. We're workers in his kingdom while we're here. We're trying to get to heaven. We're looking for something better. To be fashioned like in his glorious body. Would that be good? I tell you, I look at mine anymore. You read no book, didn't you? I look at mine anymore and I think, what happened to you, fella? Look at you. Look at you. You are the handsome kid. Morton, or at least you thought you were handsome. You never were really good looking. Our conversation is heaven. We look for a body that's right. A body that's real. A body that's lasting. A body that is permanently fixed and beautiful in a sense that no other could possibly imagine. Is that so? Yes, that's so. Be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Jesus said to her, John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. But he didn't stop there. He said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Thanks be to God. Everyone admits to the need for truth. It suppresses ignorance, diminishes superstition, alleviates prejudice. Truth is necessary to encourage progress. It predicates growth. It promotes usefulness. It produces good things to improvement. But most of all, hear me carefully, most of all, it instructs the sinner about eternal life. If we apply it to our lives, it'll do what God has said it'll do. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I don't need to say any more, do I? Is that it? Will you come to him while we stand and sing?